Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Venture Fuel Visionaries podcast. I'm your host, Fred Schonenberg, and on today's show, we have Elisabetta Debeli, the general manager of L'Oréal Paris. Ellie has nearly 20 years of experience leading multinational consumer goods companies in the U.S. and Europe, brands like L'Oréal, AB InBev, Mars, and Henkel. Before joining L'Oréal as GM of Garnier, she led the growth of some of the most iconic brands in the world: Budweiser, Corona, Stella Artois, M&M's, and Pedigree. Today, we talk about innovation at a 110-year-old company with over 88,000 employees, L'Oréal Paris's commitment to women empowerment, and how L'Oréal has evolved into a beauty tech company. So please enjoy this conversation with Ellie Debeli. Ellie, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you.
Hi, Fred. How are you? Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here with you.
I'm very jealous that I'm not in person since you're dialing in from Milan. That sounds like a nice place to be right about now.
Oh, it is, absolutely. And we also started to enjoy a little bit of a nice weather here. So I can host you whenever you want to come to visit.
All right, we'll do that. I'm very jealous. And I think maybe to help the audience, can you start off by helping them understand what your role is currently at L'Oréal?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm the brand GM for L'Oréal Paris. L'Oréal Paris is the number one beauty brand in the world. It's actually the number one anti-age in the world. It's an honor and privilege to have the opportunity to work and to lead this brand here in Italy. I joined L'Oréal around 1 year and a half ago when I decided from the United States to move back to Italy and to take this responsibility. And honestly, it has been an amazing journey so far. Today, I'm in charge completely for the brand development. So what we say internally, the O plus O, so the online and the offline strategy means like for both the offline and online, I'm in charge for the brand communication, media, all the media investments online and offline. Of course, I'm in charge of the go-to-market. Everything that you see walking in a beautiful supermarket and drugstore, that's what I do with my team every day. And of course, I'm in charge of brand causes, PR, everything that is basically relating to the brand and what's happening for L'Oréal Paris in Italy.
Beautiful. How would you describe the role of innovation in continuing to keep iconic brands, like you just mentioned, current in society and relevant to consumers?
I would say I define the role of innovation. Innovation is the fuel of the brand. I believe it's the capacity to identify and to respond to consumer needs. And it's really, really important to keep developing for innovation to really make more and more relevant the products. And I experienced that working across many brands, different categories from beer, detergent, and now in beauty especially. The innovation is what is the center of the excellence of what we do every day. Every day we are in charge, we are selling our products to each consumer. We have responsibility to really understand what the consumer is looking for, their needs, and try to respond to these needs with our innovations. And every day, every year, L'Oréal Paris and L'Oréal in general, all each division and each category, developing hundreds of innovations really to respond to these needs. Without innovation, there is not the future. Innovation is the center of what we do every day.
It's really interesting when we live and breathe innovation. And when we talk to other large organizations about who they admire or aspire to be, or they ask us, who's sort of leading the charge, L'Oréal comes up in almost every conversation about being sort of at the forefront of embedding innovation into the culture, into the products, but also into the marketing and into the services and ways that you connect with your consumers. It's really just it feels like it's part of the DNA of the organization at this point.
It is. And we can count on 110 years of experience in L'Oréal. L'Oréal is the company that was born from science, from the innovation. That's the reason the reason why every day you have hundreds of researchers that are really working to bring the level of the research embedded in our products, in each level of the work that has been done across the company. So consider that globally, we have a number of lab centers across the globe, in Europe, in Asia, everywhere we have this lab. Of course, this lab is working centrally to make sure we have a consistent strategy translating in our brand strategy. And of course, this is something that we live and breathe every day. There is the culture of innovation at L'Oréal. There are many opportunities every day we do research. We understand the consumer's needs. We try and understand what's the next level of the future of innovation. We have specific groups and people in these labs. They work every day, specifically innovation center. They regroup every year. They cross change information. They work together with the Central of Excellence. And then these strategies and these products have translated into the strategy that we sell every day in our brands. And we have, I work specifically in L'Oréal Paris. We have Garnier. We have Maybelline. We are really a center of excellence across all the brands that we sell every day, and we are in touch with our consumers every day.
One of the things that you all have done that is a really hard dynamic to get right is this idea of internal and external innovation. The idea of, when you go it alone versus bringing in partners. Can you talk a little bit about your thinking as an organization? Because clearly you have some of the brightest and best minds in the world internally. And then you have a tremendous reputation for supporting innovators and collaboration and working with startups. And just curious your point of view on that sort of balance.
Absolutely. And I think that to talk about that, we need to talk about L'Oréal as a beauty tech company. So L'Oréal was the company that started this journey ahead of any other company. So years and years ago, starting really in 2011 to embrace this in everything that we do on our brands. We are a beauty tech company. We are innovation. We are the innovators in this sector. It's the company that was born from science. And that's the reason why we started to develop all these solutions internally, but also we partner with external partners. We also did acquisition in the past in order to have the best technology to really to become the beauty tech company. And I can really give you some examples. Over the last years, in order to support our consumers, to try our products, to do analysis, for example, on the skincare, we launched this technology, and I can give you the example. If you go, for example, on the L'Oréal Paris website, you can easily go to the service area, and you can find, for example, the makeup try-on, the color try-on, the Skin Genius. Those are tools that any consumers can really go and try. So if you wanted to try the new lipstick, for example, you can go on the app, you can download, and you can see how the lipstick will look like to you. Same with the coloration. On the Skin Genius, for example, it's really your skin expert. You, with the, just uploading a picture, you can have a diagnostic of your skin and understand what you can do in order to improve your wrinkles, for example, or the level of the quality that you have. So we really try to embrace the technology to help the consumers to understand more what they can do, also embracing our products. It's really something that today is very normal for this new generation of consumers, but also for what we say, the boomers as well. The boomers are really confident now with this new approach. And this is a journey that started years ago. And now we are proud to say that we really are a beauty tech company, also thanks to the evolution that we have done together also with external partners over the last years.
I love it. Within the sort of being the beauty tech company, data immediately comes to mind for me as a way to get closer to consumers and your customers. And obviously that's a challenging area as well for a lot of organizations that maybe aren't, data first or as embedded in the digital economy the way you are. But can you all talk about how you think about data and are currently leveraging it to get closer to those consumers and customers?
For sure. So data is in the center of our business. We make decisions based on data, on anything that we are doing every day. I can talk about the media, the investment, the ROI, the go-to-market. But I can give you one specific example about media, for example. So we are working every day on the media with the media agency to really understand what is the media that is bringing the most in terms of return on investment, what is the best in terms of connection with our consumers target. And I can tell you that over the last years, we saw, of course, proliferation of media. We are not in the 80s, in the 90s, where basically 100% of the investments were spent on TV. Now we are living in a digital era where you have probably in Italy still 60% of the investments on TV, but the rest is really split. And you have investments in digital, you have an Instagram and TikTok, and how you interact in general on YouTube. It's really spread around. So for us, it's really, really challenging. Without data, we cannot make sure that we really make the best decisions, right? So we work every day with our partners to really understand what is the media that is most effective in terms of reach on our consumers' target. Without that, we couldn't make those beautiful plans to support our innovations. And so we have developed models internally where every day we take a look at where to spend the single dollar that we have. It's the one that is more efficient is on the TV, on the TikTok investments, or any other media that is part of our panier and it's part of our media that we use every day. So essentially, thanks to this model that we develop internally and with our partners, today we can say that we really try to be as much efficient as possible, consider the media proliferation and the amount of media that we are using to reach our target.
It's so interesting, right? Like you mentioned TikTok, you mentioned sort of the proliferation and the constant change that's happening. How do you think about that when you think about the future, right? You're planning, obviously, you're optimizing in real time and thinking of delivering, you know, near-term results. But also you have a very good eye for the future of where digital transformation is going. How do you bring that to life with your teams, right? That need to be worried about today, but also planning for tomorrow.
So that's a very good question because every organization, every company had this challenge a few years ago and see, okay, how are we going to tackle? How are we going to organize our teams to make sure they are ready? So there are two different things. One is how we embedded this digital transformation that now is already old, the digital transformation. Now we are in the metaverse world, right? So from we tackle this point on two parts. One is from organization standpoint, and then we had to bring talents with digital skills inside of the company. And then we need to make sure that we do digital upskilling for the people, for the population who are already in the company, right? So I would say with the organization standpoint, we develop a model where today we are really working even in our marketing team as O plus O. I am offline product manager, online brand manager. It means that this population works together. It doesn't matter what is the launch. The launch needs to be brought to life to our consumers through offline and online. And this population is working together. I have the online brand community really embedded in every team. It was not something that was available 10 years ago. We embrace it. We completely change our structure. And today we have this notion of marketing 3.0 where offline and online people work together every day, sitting one next to each other. Yeah. And this is something that he really brought the transformation for us. It's a journey. Of course, there is always an improvement and we are part of this journey now. We are working to improve the model and the ways of working, but it's something that now it's really common in our organization. The second part is really to make sure that we attract this talent in our organization. So we are recruiting the people with very digital skills. And we need to make sure that these people are really understand also rest part of the organization that works on the offline. So the integration of the people with digital skills in our organization is, and also on the other side, we need to make sure that the people, they have more like offline experience working in offline environment, they are ready to embrace digital for their future growth. So it's one is more like, let's focus on the talent, how we can do the upscaling in digital for the future. And one is how we organize ourselves and how we make to life our marketing 3.0 organization.
I love it. We just finished about 2 weeks ago, we had our Rogue Women event in New York. And as I was doing research for our conversation, I saw in particular a whole bunch of different things with the recognition L'Oréal received last year as the Standout Woman Award. Would love to understand a little bit more about that project's objective, how you brought it to life, and your work overall in supporting the empowerment of women.
Absolutely. So we got the honor to get this reward specifically in Italy thanks to a project a couple of years ago L'Oréal Paris globally decided to launch is Stand Up. This is a global project. L'Oréal Paris is for women empowerment. It's part of the DNA of the brand, something that we embraced since the beginning when the brand was born, right? The women empowerment. And the goal of Stand Up is really to raise awareness and train the people about what they can do to support in case they are a victim or someone that is seeing a case of street harassment. Stand Up is against street harassment. This is a global program that has been developed in partnership with the NGO Holdback, has been developed across multiple countries, and has two main goals. One is awareness, to really raise the awareness against the case of street harassment. And the second one, we develop a training. So today, if you go, for example, and anyone can do that, you can go on standup.lorealparis.com. You can easily take a training. The training that we develop is really to show specific cases, what you can do in case you are a victim on a street harassment. There is a strategy in what we say is a 5Ds strategy. Basically, is a direct, distract, delegate, document, and delay. 5 simple things you can do in case you are in that situation. There is a very simple training. It's 15 minutes training. Anyone can do because anyone can be in that situation. And it's important for us as a brand to really start to raise the awareness on the problem. We embrace it completely. We decided as a brand globally to stand up for this cause in order to train as much people as possible on this specific and sensitive topic. So far, we already trained around 1.5 million of people, and it's visible on the website if you go there. And our goal is really to keep raising the awareness and training people in order to prevent this kind of situation. And again, anyone can do, can be a woman, can be a man, anyone can do because anyone can be really part of a scene or a victim on a street harassment. So L'Oréal Paris decided to stand up for this cause. And we are super proud because it's a sensitive topic. It's super important for us. And today we are seeing a very big interest on this topic everywhere in every country. And we keep supporting for that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that you're showing to the numbers of how much impact it's having and really measuring that. You know, going beyond sort of the lip service towards a cause, but really have it embedded in the DNA of the company and what you believe and showing the impact it's having. That's the way it should be done. Well, so I'm going to switch gears here to rapid fire word association. You've mentioned some of the transformations happening in digital that you all are at the forefront of, and would love to get your just quick point of view, your thinking on a couple of industry terms. So are you ready to go?
You go.
Okay. The first one we'll start with, and obviously some of these are intersecting, but Web3.
I would say it's test and learn. It's future. It's test and learn. We need to understand where to go with that, of course.
Similar, but the metaverse.
The metaverse is already here, but again, it's not like Web3 and we started to do some tests, etc. It's super interesting. But again, for me, it's already a reality, but we need to better understand how we're going to approach this reality to make it more close to anyone.
Generative AI.
Artificial intelligence part of our journey, together also with augmented reality. I described it before. What we are doing with our services, the Skin Genius or the other set, the virtual try-on, it's already part of what we are doing every day.
Internet of Things, IoT.
Same. It's part of our journey. It's something that we started to embrace and continue to learn.
Sustainability.
Sustainability is something that we embraced it a year ago. It's already a reality for us. Consider that 100% of our packaging, for example, what we do with Lviv, is already 100% recycled. So it's a journey that it became a reality, and we still have many goals to achieve by 2025 and 2030 to really make sure the sustainability is there on the top of our agenda as a company, And we really need to make sure that we keep progressing with that, because we don't want be part of the problem, but we are the solution.
I love that. Ellie, where should people go to learn more about the work that you're doing?
I think the work that we are doing, I hope for any consumers that is following, it's really something visible on the products they buy and they choose every day on the shelf. And whatever you are looking on the label, we're talking about sustainability. You are watching an advertising and we're talking about how you can make your skin better, your hair better. You can go on our website and you can find a bunch of information regarding our products, the categories, our stand-up, programs, the brand causes, everything needs to be visible through online, through digital, through our website. But for me, the most important part is I wanted the people to see what we are trying to do when they buy our products on shelf, when they choose to use our products every day. It's something that they need to feel it as the moment they touch our products.
Ellie, thank you so much for your time, sharing all this insight and everything you're doing to spark change in the world.
Thank you to you, Fred. It's been a pleasure being with you today. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much for listening to this conversation with Ellie. She's certainly at the forefront of this digital evolution, how to position a company for the future. If there's anyone you think that might enjoy this, please feel free to share it with them. And for more information on Venture Fuel, our guests, you can just go to LinkedIn and type in Venture Fuel. You'll find all of our information, and we look forward to having you listen to our next episode. Take care.